Okay.
Start.
Yeah.
Test 1, 2, 3. Well, my name is Giovanni Aguilar. I'm the pastor at Restoration Agape. It's located in Paris in Riverside County. The church has 4 years in existence. It was myself, the wife, and the kids, and 13 dogs that started the ministry. And if you're familiar in that area, Riverside County, Paris, you know, it's a little bit rough. It's different. But it's a good place because the Lord brought me there. It's a great place to start a ministry. It's not, I've always said that it's not what I think or where I should be or the location at a corner where a lot of traffic. No, God sets you in a place. He's going to prosper you there. He's going to bring the people He needs to bring. But we have to do our part. And you know, the teaching today, well, I don't know. It's, I guess, the talk we're going to have. You know, from a brick maker to a conqueror. And I like to, I use that example of brick maker. It's because it's something you actually see. You know, you could talk about a wall, right away you're going to picture it. You know, you can picture right away a wall and say, yeah, it's going to, well, it depends on how you want it, how many blocks. Right away, you get an idea of what you're talking about. See, and us growing up, our parents help us and they shape us to what we're going to become, or pretty much they have an idea. They take you to the best schools, or they try, and they want you to get an education, they want you to get a job, or follow their trade. So everything is placed in order. And for you to make a wall, everything has to be placed in order. You can't go buying a drywall and think you're going to make a wall, because it doesn't work. It'll clash. But we bring that mentality to Jesus, where we try to have, you know, we try to get Jesus to adjust to our schedule. We try to get Jesus to follow what we think is good for us. And we forget everything what Jesus is asking us to do. This is why I believe, and, you know, why churches aren't so victorious or they're not prosperous. I'm not talking about resources, money-wise. Because God didn't come for the money, obviously. We all know that. He came because of you and myself. He wanted to save us. So the thing is, what are we doing to follow or imitate that? See, and like I mentioned earlier, we're imitating the majority of the time our parents or somebody we knew or something we read about, and like, man, I want to be like him. I want to make this much money. You know, I want to sound as educated as him. Man, I want to get my degree here. So we imitate somebody because we feed from someone. And in this world, we're supposed to feed from somebody. In other words, learn from someone. So how do we become a conqueror? You see, that's the thing. And when you talk about the word conqueror, everybody has something to explain that, don't we? But nobody could actually explain it to the team. If I tell you how to do a wall, you get the experience, you'll tell me, yeah, you just need blocks and you need this kind of cement, you need this and you'll get it done. But a conqueror, everybody has something different to say. Some of you could say, oh, just get into a business and just have that positive attitude and do it. Or get that education and open your mind and you'll see things better. Or get somebody, you know, get somebody to mentor you and how to run the business, how to manage your money. So there's always something that'll tell you or someone will tell you how to conquer things. But are we really called to conquer things in this world? Of course we are. But as a believer, we're called to conquer another soul. We're called to preach. See, and I, when I go evangelizing, and I could knock, how many doors do we knock on Mondays? Average. 120 doors. How many doors do we knock on Tuesday? 120 again. Okay, on Thursday we go back, and how many usually we touch?
Around
200. So we have evangelism every week, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. See, and we set a goal. Everything in life, growing up, you set goals. If you're in business and selling a certain product, your goal is to what? Sell 100 of them. Why? Because you know that's your profit level now. You're making money. You know, you won't be excited if you sold 2 of your product. If you're under. You're already losing. You're not going to stay in business long. But we don't see that in Jesus. We don't see that as a believer. See, the problem when I started as a believer, it was very where I would just go on Sundays and sit, worship God, hear His word, and sit down.
and then get ready yet for the next week and do the same ordeal. See how religion kicked in my life? And when religion kicks in, guess what? Our carnal ways will kick in right away because we'll start choosing who's our friends, who's not our friends. So that's the kind of atmosphere we'll have in church. But see, with them, I'll give you an example of them. She's in charge of evangelism. And this is Brittany, and she'll come up front here and she'll speak a little. Every day is not dull for her. Every day she's dealing with her people that's under her. They have to give her a report. How do those people, you know, the people they touched, they knocked on the door, they opened the door, they were able to pray for them, they were able to get a number. See, and that's kind of weird for us at first when we haven't done it before. And, you know, if I give you a goal, and I tell you, all right, you're gonna go evangelizing this Monday, you got to give me two numbers. If it takes you 20 minutes, perfect. If it takes you 2 hours, perfect. But you're going to bring me two numbers today. Because why? You're profitable. You're a blessing. You're going to speak to people. See, in the world, if I tell you that, what do? You get yourself excited. All right, how do I do it? I need to make money. Right? I need to have a better car. I want to buy the wife this. The kids are growing up. I need them to go to college. But do we have that same joy, that same spark for Jesus? See, do you think about it that way? Do you move yourself when you wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm going to go sowing today? Or I call it sowing. We call it sowing, evangelism. Today when I go evangelize, Lord, I need to touch somebody. Lord, when I pray for somebody, I need your spirit. Just knock them down. I need them to feel your presence. And if they're sick and they're ill, I need them to be healed because I need them to know there's a true God. And the true God is you. See, in business, we do that as a brick maker. We have little overalls like this. All right, guys, how's business? Are we doing this? What are we losing? Well, come on, we can't lose it. Do we need more training? What do we need? Do we need to let you go? You're not doing what you need to do. You know, right away, right? We look to who to and who to bring in. But do we do that in the kingdom? See, that's a conqueror mind. That will bring everything to you. That will, your business will grow. You will make more money. Because if you give Jesus what Jesus wants, I mean, there's a lot of verses that I can just recite right now, just tell you what God talks about, how he wants to bless you, how he wants to give you, and he wants to, if he's, look at the words, if I can take care of them, why can I not take care of you, right? Isn't there a verse like that in the Bible, right? You know, and so, it's not that point. It's not that. It's us activating ourselves. And like I mentioned, 120 houses. How many administrators or how many people we have?
41.
We have 41 people that on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And remember this, it was just the wife and I who started. We average about 150 people now in church. And this is what I instilled this in them. And I tell them this. I give them the example of Peter in Acts 3, 1 through 10. We know that story. And I'll just read this part where Peter, this occurred to Peter. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them, right? Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He said, walk. That's what they give. That's what I give. That's what we give here. And we understand that gold and silver will come to us. It'll follow us. There's a verse in the Bible that says that, right? The blessings will follow us, right? See, but we chase the wrong thing. We chase what we think and we're called to do. And it's not that anymore. See, if you weren't a believer, I wasn't a believer, you're damn right. You're not called. You're called to go after your own things. You're called to have your house. You're not saying that we shouldn't. But your first thing should be the Lord and his service. Now, I always tell them, we don't put God as a priority. God in our face is not a priority. God is a necessity. See, a priority, you readjust it every day. every day you readjust what you should do today. And when we put God as a priority, we say, God, you're my priority. Heck no, God is not a priority. God is a necessity. Do you guys think today and say, man, I'm hungry, I better eat today? No, you get hungry, what do? You drive to the nearest restaurant, and you're even so choosy, you choose what to eat, right? No, I don't want to have a hamburger today. No, I don't want a burrito today. No, I don't want this restaurant today. Doesn't your hunger drive you to do it? That's the same way. When Jesus is your necessity, you need to see the fact, you need to go heal somebody. You need to go do a miracle. You need to pray for somebody. Every time someone opens the door, what are you supposed to do? After you leave?
Pray for them.
Every person we meet, you open your mouth at me, I'm praying for you. You open the door, sorry buddy, you're going to get a prayer from me. I don't let you go just, okay, bye-bye. No, I'm praying for you. Why? Because I know God's going to do something that day. God's going to do something in that house. And even if you reject me, I planted the seed. Out of all those homes, how many numbers we probably get? Not that many, right? But guess what? In 3 months from now, we're going back to the house. 3 months later, guess what we're doing again? We're going back to that house. They're going to know us. As it is, don't they know us already?
Yeah.
Because we understand that. I'm not called to be a brick maker. I'm called to conquer this place. I'm called to introduce Jesus in this place. And that's what I will do. I love another verse. Let me share this verse with you guys. You know? Matthew 10, 7 and 8. We have more to offer than before. See, before we could only offer to build a house. Before we could offer my education. Before I could offer my experience, right? And we think that's enough. And yes, it is enough in this world while you live here. I mean, look, I remember when I was 19 and I became a police officer, 19 and a half. I am 43 years old. Where did those years go? I mean, look, I probably beat you guys on the gray hair. Time flies. And it just leaves you. See, that's one thing I chose not to do. I chose not let time just leave me. I choose to run with time and doing things for Jesus. Work with Jesus on this. And I love this verse in Matthew 10, 7, 8. It says, Jesus said, as you go proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy and drive out demons. See, I understand, and when I pray for these young ladies, and I pray for all the leaders per se, but we call them administrators. I pray for them, and I send them, and I tell them, "You're gonna heal people today. On Monday, you're gonna do great things, and you're gonna come with a number, and you're gonna pray for that person. You're gonna pray for that family, and then you're gonna call them. See, we have something that if I meet you on Monday, I have 48 hours." To reach and call you back and say, hey, let's just say your name is Juan, right? I'll just put you in Hispanic name. Why not? Okay. You're Juan. Hey, Juan, thank you for opening the door and, you know, allowing me to share with you on Monday. It was really, really exciting to hear the things you're doing. And, you know, and I'm praying for your mom. As you told me, your mom's in the hospital. And before we disconnect, we're going to pray again. And we're just going to thank God because I know God is doing the miracle there. Because you want God to heal your mom. And I know it's going to happen. And I pray, and I'll pray again. And then in 72 hours, I'll go visit you. And I'll bring you something small. I mean, just a packet of cookies. It doesn't have to, we do that. And I'll bring you something and you're like, it's kind of weird accepting from a stranger or something, right? No, you're not a stranger anymore. One, you opened the door to me. And we talked. And then second, we talked over the phone already within those 48 hours. And then within those 72 hours that I met you, I'm again at your house. You feel now I have a friendship. And here's the thing. After those 72 hours, guess what I'm trying to do? During those 48 hours, what I'm trying to do? Open your house. have a cell group there. We call it edification group. Preach the word at your house. Not so much get you at church. Because see, Tom probably doesn't like church. And all the things Tom has heard, or maybe even Tom has gone to church and the pastor was just rude or the elder was rude. He doesn't want to go to church. So why put yourself in a situation that it's just going to remind him why church is so bad? Get Tom to open his house. Introduce Jesus all over again to Tom at the comfort of what? At his home. And that's what we do. Right now, we had 7 houses open a month ago.
Yes.
I challenged the administrators, the leaders. And I told them, you got a month. From 7 houses, I want 30 houses. Guess how many they have right now? How many houses do you have?
31.
31 houses. That means during the week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Do they have one on Saturday? No.
Yes.
Yes. Saturday, there's at someone's house preaching the Word of God. Now the goal is to have 10 people in each house. By the end of this year, that's going to be our goal now. So we should have 10 in each house. Let's just say 30, just make it simple. By the end of the year, we should have 300 people that we probably don't even know, probably don't even go to church yet, or they might already, hearing the Word of God. So by the end of the year, we should have 300 new people that we've reached. And then we'll set another goal. Not for 30, obviously we're there. Set a goal for 60. Set a goal for 70. And then we said that we stop there. And then what will we do? We get 10 people in every house. And disciple them and teach them the ways. How long have you been at the church now?
Where?
Yes.
Attending church?
Yes.
Since January.
Since January. Since January of this year, she was not a believer. And she is now a director of evangelism, of sowing, what we call. She directs those 40 administrators, those leaders. She has a schedule. She gets daily reports when they go evangelizing, who they spoke to, and so on. And then during the week, they talk to her how the communication went, with the phone call, how the visit went before those 72 hours, and if they were able to open a house. See, her department could only see victory by a house being open. And then we have the other group that does the houses, the cell groups. Her victory is seen only when she grows that house. We move this way. Because I know if I proclaim the good news, miracles happen. See, and church never gets dull. It never gets boring. It's never routine. You know why? Because you're always dealing with somebody new. You always have to pray for something new. You always have to hear somebody new. It's never the same thing. You're always being challenged with your faith for them. You're always on the phone with them. Come on, I know you're having this struggle. I know probably you want to come to church, right? Yeah, I don't want to go to church. You know what? I went through that. And then you get off the phone, bam, the next person. Yeah, I don't want to go to church because mama, I know. Here, let's pray. See, you're always interacting. You see, they don't have time to interact with them. See, because it gets boring if I have to deal with you all the time. And I have to hear the same story with you. And I know you're not really trying to serve God. You're always making excuses. And you're always fighting with your wife. You're always, your kids are this and this and that. And you can't handle work and you can't handle your co-worker. It's always the same drama within the choir. And what do? You pray for that? You're not going to pray for this brother there again. Because you pray already. How many times did you pray? Has he changed? You know? But when you have somebody new, and you're able to disciple them, doesn't know anything about Jesus. And you're able to pick up the Bible and just say, this is what God says. Believe. Call me when you're struggling. Call me when you just get full of anger and you want to scream. Don't scream. Call me. Let me be your lifeline. Let me pray for you. I'll go pick you up. We can meet at Starbucks. But don't let anger take over you. Don't leave your wife. See, this is the kind of things we always have to deal. How do you feel? You're proclaiming the Word of God. And this is what we're called. We got to have a strategy. And churches used to don't. We run wild. Let's use the language. Like wild hogs. Everywhere. And then we get mad because we don't have anything. We don't have anything to show. And we think this is Christianity. This is why we backslide a lot. Because every time you speak the Word of God out there in the streets, guess who he speaks first to? To you. See, every time I go and I preach on the streets, and I'm speaking to someone, it always hits me. Giovanni, you better do better. Come on, man. Come on. See, the Word always comes back to me first before that person I speak to. But if I don't do that, and on Sundays, all I do is just sit in that comfortable chair and just hear the pastor or whatever speaker it is. What fruit is it giving? See, you're not going to keep an orange tree if it doesn't give you oranges. You just won't. If you're, I mean, you planted that orange tree just because you want what? Oranges. You don't want apples. Because you will plant a what? An apple tree. And if it doesn't work, you yank it out and you say, no, let me buy a better tree. Then question yourself. What fruit do I have to show my Lord? What fruit? See, in the business, I'll go back again to the world. Would you stay in the business there if you were profitable? Would the company keep you? If you're always running late, you're always making excuses, you're always fighting with your co-workers. When your boss tells you to do something, you're like, oh, all right, I guess I got to do it. How long would you stay there? You probably wouldn't last. That's going to happen to us. We're going to meet our Creator one day. What do we have to show? What are we going to say, Lord? Look at my fruits. What fruits? It's not the fruit that you're not mad anymore. It's the fruit of showing him Bob, Robert, you discipled him, you discipled him. You prayed for them, miracles occurred, they're discipling others. I want to take a few minutes and have Brainy here. She is in charge of evangelism. She'll share a little bit of what we do, how we do it, and the goals she has. And she's doing an amazing job. And like she said, she became a believer in January 2017. So it's not how long you've been there. It's how bad you want it. That's it. And people think the ones that have been there for 80 years and they've been believers carrying that huge Bible, yeah, let's put him as this. No, it's the one that wants it will make things happen. Do you want it? That's the question. If you want it, then it's the moment for you. Please bring it.
Good afternoon, my name is Brittany, and I'm the coordinator of the Church of Evangelism. And at our church, we call evangelism sowing. Because when we sow, we truly believe we're sowing a seed to our community. And when we're sowing a seed to them, we're sowing to them hope, we're sowing to them faith, we're sowing to them life. And our words have life. When we go out there, we're on average with all the groups throughout the week, we are sowing on an average about 500 doors are being knocked on every week. And it's amazing because we're inspiring and sparking that fire in people. There's so many people that need Jesus. There's so many people that desire what we have, and that's what we're presenting. We're presenting Jesus.
because we have that joy, because we have that peace in us. And one of the most important things that we want to show is, you know, what did Jesus do for us? And most of the time, when we give our testimony of, for example, mine, just such a short amount of time, and my life completely changed. And I actually was at Walmart 9 months ago, and somebody came up to me at the store and started speaking to me about Jesus and prayed for me. And just those few moments when she prayed for me, that sparked something inside of me that changed my life. I saw the joy, and I desired that from Jesus. I was not having a life full of abundance. And now that I have my pastor, he has shown me how to live that life of abundance. And it directly goes hand in hand with evangelizing. Because when you go and you sow words of life to other people, you are also, you know, receiving that as well. It is the most fulfilling thing that you can do. Go and speaking the word. Go and speaking about Jesus and discipling others. Because it's such a joy to see that somebody else's life will change, mm-hmm. and that the Lord is going to use you. Mm-hmm. And now here I am 9 months later speaking to you and telling you that it's possible. And your words have so much meaning, have so much power. And when you plant a seed that has so much power to your community, you are growing that your ministry, your own ministry, with leaders that are willing to overextend themselves. And that's who we are. We overextend ourselves. We motivate each other. And I wanted to share with you a verse, and it's Luke 17:10. And it says, "So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" So this all goes back to overextending yourself. If someone doesn't overextend themselves, there's no way that we can bring more people to the kingdom. There's no way that if we just go to church every Sunday and we're sitting down, there's no way that we can help expand the love of Jesus. Everything he has done for us, we can give that to somebody else. And when we do that, it is, when you sow something so powerful, you are going to reap blessings in your life. You're going to reap abundance. You're going to reap prosperous things in your life. And that is something that when you go and evangelize, it's one of the most beautiful things to witness. And it's amazing that you can actually go and tell somebody that they can obtain the most precious gift on earth. And that's finding that love and finding that peace that you have all received. And it is an honor. It is an honor to go and speak to people and motivate others, but it does require, you know, persistence. It requires consistency with the people that you speak to. And it does require a sense of urgency that you go and you speak to them and tell them, "Hey, you know, can I pray for you?" Because you know that your prayer has power. You know your prayer can change their life. And when you walk with that type of persistency and consistency and that urgency, you will see what will follow behind you. And there's so much for you. And the Lord, you know, is using me today to tell you that the Lord wants to give you more. The Lord wants to give you more blessings, more peace. You overextend yourself. Talk to you not only, you know, knock on the doors, but evangelize with your neighbor, someone at work, someone at the store, and you will see what will happen when you do those kinds of things.
And the person that actually spoke to her, it's her right here. Tiffany, so they can see you. She's the one that spoke to her at Walmart.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and she discipled her. And she became the product of her. Because if it was somebody that didn't want to work for the kingdom, she would not want to work for the kingdom. If someone that just took Jesus as whatever and this Sunday I can't make it,
guess what she would do the same? She would be inconsistent. But because she was on her all the time, talking to her, don't be late to service. Come on. Let's, you know, I opened this house. You got to come to my house. You know, I'm preaching there. I'm talking about Jesus. And she's already come. And, or actually, they opened your house, right?
Yes. Yeah.
No, actually, you see, she got her to open her
house.
The
very next day, I went to service for the first time on Sunday. I met her Friday, went to service Sunday, and the very next day, Monday, I opened my home.
And then she was preaching at her house. How many people you ended up having at the house?
Eight
people from nowhere. See, it's just we cannot see, we cannot think, how am I going to get people here? Oh, how are people going to open the houses? Or how is this going to grow? Don't think about it. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is just do it. Just throw yourself. See, when the wife and I started the ministry, every day I would go and evangelize. And at that place, who's been to prayer garden over there, in that area, you're going to meet a cow first. I mean, there's going to be a rooster there first saying hi to you before you see a human being. But I didn't see that as an obstacle. I just saw the fact that I could do it. And I just did it. And that's what they do. See, if I have that spirit in me, they're going to have that spirit in them. Because I will lay hands on them, and that's what I will activate in them. A spirit of being consistency to serve the Lord. A spirit to go out there and get those souls. And that's what we do. Thank you. Next. She wants to, she's also a product of sowing evangelism. You want to hold this? Otherwise, I'll sit here.
Hello. My name is Angelica, and I am a product of sewing. I am 22 years old, and at my age, I never would have thought that I would like evangelizing, because I grew up in a typical spiritually dead church, where I would just sit down, seats comfortable, you know, there's AC, and I would just sit there, and my life had no purpose. And to me, it was like the older people who go evangelizing, who have nothing to do, they're bored, you know, they're just going to go and see what they can do, maybe get some money out of it, because that's what the church I attended to before, she saw people, she didn't see people as, oh, they're a soul in need of Jesus Christ. They're just, oh, I see a person, oh, that's money. They can give money to the church. So I ended up getting hurt from there, and when they sowed to me, I was like, no, thank you, I'm fine. I don't want to go. And even the pastor came up to me, and I'm like, and I had, you know, a bad attitude. And when I went to a restoration camp, which is where, I mean, my life just changed. Everything that I had gone through as a little girl, it was taken out that day. Those camps are powerful. And I started taking some classes, which we'll talk about later on what the classes are. But I was still a little embarrassed to go and tell somebody because I said, I'm 22. I'm little. People are going to think that, you know, I'm a joke, that I, you know, I have nothing else to do. I mean, because at 22, you could be doing many things that, you know, the world can do, you know, party or, you know, those bad things that we shouldn't be doing anyways. But when my life, it took a complete, like a 360 turn, and I said, I'm going to give sewing a try because my life changed. And what seemed to be something embarrassing turned to be something serious for me because people are dying. And when I read this verse, which is it's a very important verse for me, it's Ezekiel 3:16, and it goes all the way to 21. And what it says is basically if you know somebody and they die, and they were sinning, you know, you're not, you know, you're held accountable. Why? Because you didn't tell them about the word. You didn't tell them, look, there's something better. You don't have to be doing this. Yes, you know, like maybe right now you're drinking, but that's not the answer. You'll be happy for those 10 minutes, maybe a day, but that doesn't last a lifetime. It doesn't last the eternity. But if you warn, when you warn them and you tell them that, you're not held accountable for them. But if you know somebody, friends, a neighbor, you go somewhere, you don't tell them you are held accountable. And I knew a lot of people, and I said, whoa, I don't want to lose my salvation because I couldn't even say Jesus loves you. just give him a try. Try it out. We have a saying where what we say is, church is like a restaurant. You come, you check it out. If you like it, you come back. If not, then you just don't come back. But if they're just simple words, Jesus loves you, that can change somebody's life. It can change someone's mentality. And when I read that verse, I said, okay, I'm taking it serious. And I started going 2 hours. And I go sewing in any condition. A few weeks ago, it was 116 degrees outside. I didn't care. I said, hey, let me just put my hair out. I want to get some running shoes. And I'm going. I'm still knocking the door. I'm sweating. And I'm wiping my sweat before I knock on the door. And then I stand there like nothing. And I don't even have water. I said, would you like water? No, thank you. I want to give you something. You don't have to give me anything. And then we're going to the next door, and I'm like, and there I go, because it's so important. And I'm not perfect. I sin every day, you know, in my subconscious and my unconscious, but I cleanse myself because I know that there's somebody in need for Jesus. And when you make that your goal, your life is prosperous, like she was saying. You reap those blessings because you're sowing, you're giving that seed. And some people will receive it, some people won't. But you have to make souls your goal. And, I mean, it's so beautiful to know that somebody that was lost, that you're discipling, their life is changing. Because we don't just want to be, you know, like the Bible says, we're the salt of the earth. But if we're just a salt shaker who keeps the salt inside, what good is it? It doesn't give flavor to anything. So I told myself, I don't want to be just a salt shaker. I want to actually pour the salt, be the light, because the light is what cleanses us. It's what gives us salvation. And I can't afford, you know, since I feel accountable, I can't afford somebody to get the wrong doctrine. Or to say, yeah, Jesus loves you, but you could still drink and party on the weekend and he'll forgive you. Just, you know, be right on Sunday, but then Monday through Saturday, do whatever you like. Who cares? You have free will. We're in America, so you can just do whatever you like. No, it's much more than that. And, you know, I speak my testimony because that's what changes people. Because if you're perfect, and you tell someone, you know, I'm perfect, and life's been great. You know, they're like, okay, well, what has God done to you? What has he done for you? When you tell them, look, you know, I was like this, and sometimes you're not so proud to say it, but you say, no, it's the person that I am. And that's why I come to you. I've been through the rebellious stage. I've been through the drinking or a divorce or whatever it is, but I'm here to tell you that it doesn't matter because God loves you. Here's the ticket to heaven. It's something so beautiful. And you don't have to be worried or scared of what to say, because Matthew 10:20 says, do not be afraid or worried, because my Father will speak through you. And that's something very powerful, because if it's just me, I'll be like, look, here you go. And I say, don't worry. Use me. I want to speak life to somebody. I want them to see what you died for in me. I want to be used by you. I don't want to be, because if it's me, I'm just going to mess it up. I need it to be you. And this is what I do. I grab some anointing oil, I cleanse myself, and then I go and preach. And it's just something so beautiful that if I could go every day, I would. I go like 4 times a day, but...
A week?
Yes, 4 times a week. And pretty soon I'll just be going every day because people are dying. And I don't want to be held accountable, and I want people to receive that salvation that I received.
How long have you been at church now?
A year. Yes, I've been
there
a year and
a few months. A year, a few months.
Mm-hmm.
She's that committed to go and reach out for soul.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to do, it's just us believing. You know, it's going to start with you. It's going to start with you. With you, or with you, with you, or with you. It doesn't have to start with 5 of you guys. It starts with 1. And if it starts with 1, someone will come along.
Yeah.
Someone will along. That's what started with wife and I. Just her and I. We believe that if we knocked on the doors, I didn't want believers. See, that's one thing I asked and I prayed to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I don't want believers to come to my church.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're complicated. They don't want to serve.
Yeah.
Bringing me people that don't know Jesus, mm-hmm. those I will work with. And where do you think you find them? And guess what? I reached out and I went to the house. Thank you.
Thank you.
And this is Tiffany.
is the director of the cell groups or of the edifications.
Yes. My name is Tiffany, and thank you so much for having us. I really appreciate it. I have been in Restoration Agape for 4 years now, and I am the director of the edification groups, and I love it. I have a passion. I have a drive to serve God. And about when I was 18 years old, I was sitting, I had just recently received Jesus, but I was at a church in and out, one foot in, one foot out, and I hadn't met my pastor just yet. And I remember looking at the crowd, and they were talking about cell groups, and I never heard of it because I grew up Jehovah's Witness. So when they were talking about the cell groups, in my heart, I said, you know what? I want to do that. I want to be the person that's in front of the people preaching my testimony because I'm grateful. I want to give what the Lord has done for me. And I was 18 years old. All the doors closed. I stopped going to the church. I wasn't going to church at all. And in Rancho Cucamonga, when I was working at U.S. Bank, someone evangelized me from this church, from Restoration Agape, all the way in Rancho Cucamonga. And I came, and I loved it. And the first day, they started talking about cell groups. And we call cell groups edification groups. Now, what I do, I am the director. I'm one of the directors of many directors. Many of could not make it. But what I do is not just open the home. Me and Brittany, she's in charge of evangelism. We work hand in hand. We're always in communication with each other. We're always making sure that those departments are running smoothly, because when she's sewing and she's sending her people out to go sew, they open the homes. That's not my goal. My goal is to grow the homes. My goal is to get 10 to 15 people in every house. Now, those people that we go out and we give the word and we preach and we disciple them, those people will eventually have the same will have the same mindset as us, will think alike as us, and it's pretty much on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We're edifying them, and what edification means is to build them up, on the foundation of Jesus Christ. It's preaching the word to them, and the word is what speaks to them. The Bible says that faith comes through the ear. So when I'm preaching to them, I started with Brittany. I'll give you an example. I started with Brittany, and she told you the whole story. I met her on a Friday at Walmart. I started giving her my testimony. I can tell that she has been going through a hard time, and I prayed for her. The next day she came to church, and then the fall of that Monday, I opened her house, and I was on it, and I was consistent. Right away, we got 8 people. Now, Brittany has her own edification group. She's growing 10 to 15 people. Out of the 8 people that I have in my home, 2 already have their own edification group. Okay? The others are becoming an administrator. An administrator is a laborer of the kingdom. It's not your usual members that come to the church every Sunday. Now, it's been an amazing experience. About 4 weeks ago, my pastor challenged all the administrators, all the directors, and he said, from these 7 homes, I want 30 homes. I said, okay, because I believe in edification. I believe in building people up. I believe in my pastor, and really, my pastor's vision of edification, of multiplying, is Jesus' vision. Many times in the Bible, more than once, you'll find that Jesus went to homes. Jesus went to visit people. Jesus preached, and the rooms were filled. And this has been such an honor to do for me. It's been an amazing experience. We've had to be focused. We had to be consistent. We had to have a drive in us and focus on the goal, not go left or to the right, but just do what we had to do, and the fruit came. And you know what? We have over 30 homes right now. And now I'm excited because now we will have another goal. And we are a church that is very goal-driven. But if my pastor would have never challenged me, then there would have been nothing that I would have to move my faith in. So I am very grateful for this opportunity to speak to you guys, and I encourage you to look at this model, this model of Jesus. He would go and he grabbed the 12, and the 12 got more, 12 more, right? That's how he had his 72. So this is an amazing experience that now I'm actually living from 18 years old. Now I'm 23 years old, and I'm the director of the Edification Group. So God is real, and thank you very much. I appreciate it.
She mentioned the fact that when we have them at the cell groups or education groups, we take them to a camp.
Yes.
And in that camp, if you notice, well, I'll give myself an example. This is where I got the idea from. When I became a police officer, or before becoming a police officer, I was told to go to the academy, police academy, for 6 months. And during those 6 months, I would go every day. And guess what I was being taught? I was doctrinated. I was being taught the law. How to take care of the city. How to fight for the city. How to protect the citizens. Do what is expected from me. And so when I became a believer, and I was like, how can I do that to the church? To God's people? How can I build them up so that foundation is in them? And I said, you know what? Let me take them to a retreat for 2 days. There's no playing volleyball. There's no playing basketball. There's nothing. I get you on Saturday morning, man, I'm preaching the word, and I'm praying every preaching. I minister to you right away. Then the next teaching, I minister you again. And then the next teaching, I minister you again. So I give you the word, and then I do the spiritual. So we do that for 2 days. I give them the foundation of who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. What did Jesus do? And I what does Jesus want to do more in your life? And how you're supposed to grow out of this? So for 2 days, that's what we do. And this is where she comes in now. My director of the education system. See, after you go to your camp or retreat, I encourage you, and I tell you, come on, for 6 months, come with me Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. I want to teach you the word. Commit. I need you to be consistent. And during those 6 months, you can only mess two times. See, what am I doing there? I'm building in them to be what? Consistent. I'm putting them where they automatically, every Tuesday at 7 p.m., I have to be a church with pastor. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., I got to be with pastor. And during those 6 months, teach them. And I'm taking your bread here. You know, to get a thought about this. And please stand up.
Hi, my name is Nancy, and I'm also a product of Point. You know, a lot of the times I've heard people say, imitate Jesus. And when you ask a believer, when you say, how do you imitate Jesus? They tell you, go to church, give your tithe, be a good person, you know, Jesus. But I learned that that's not what imitating Jesus is. Jesus walked. And because of a man and a woman that were obedient and believe in imitating Jesus, which is Pastor Gio and Pastora, they walked and they knocked on my door. Them knocking on my door changed my life because I was desperate for something new, and they came with an answer. Here's Jesus, here's life. I was dead, you know. I was a person that you will not take me to church even if you drag me, you know. I didn't want to. So this was something different. So they walked. Jesus walked. They preached. They came to my house. They will talk to me every Tuesday. They fed me something different. And now I started to find hope, a purpose on why I was alive. Then they invited me to this retreat, this restoration camp. And I think about it like a repair shop.
because you go and you get restored. You know, all the wounds, everything you went through, God restores you with everything that they're teaching you, they're ministering you. You know, so they walk. We walk. They teach. We teach. Then they preach. They have this boot camp of learning how to be a believer, how to be, you know, Jesus-like. You know, after the camp, they have these classes for 6 months. Every Tuesday and every Thursday they come. And then they start giving you the tools. They teach you how to pray, how to have faith, how to believe that God can do anything. You know, they give you that. They start, something becomes alive in you. And you see that urgency and that desire to go save somebody else, to give life to somebody else. To say, look, this is not the way it is. This is not the way you can have something different.
That's right.
And then, you know, a little, at first you're afraid, you know. How am I going to go and knock on doors? What am I going to say? You know, I was in charge of training at my other job, you know, new hires. And I was just like this, talking to the people, you know. But when it came to knocking on the door and saying, hi, Lord Jesus loves you, I thought, I'm going to freeze. I can't do this. But those classes, you know, they gave me a guidance of how to go and talk to other people. And the things that I was learning, I was applying it to my personal life, to my job. You know, people starting to, some people came to church because they said, why are they teaching Nancy? You know, Nancy looks, she acts different. She talks different. You know, she's not depressed anymore. She doesn't get angry all the time, you know? So they saw something different, and that was my school. Those 6 months was my school to be somebody different and to learn how to go and speak to other people. So I'm so blessed that Pastor and Pastora came and knocked on my door.
Amen.
They imitated Jesus. And that's what they do. They walk. They, you know, they preach, they teach, and now we do. You know, and every time it gets easier and easier, and just to see so many lives change, it's so, you can describe the feeling, you know, and seeing the church grow more and more, and so much youth, you know, so much youth, that's hard, you know, and seeing so much youth in the little ones, that are, you know, following the same steps. It's amazing. So imitate Jesus. I want, just like Jesus used Pastor and Pastora to change my life forever, I want Jesus to use me to change somebody else's. I want to walk. I want to teach. I want to preach.
That's right. She took her goal is to get me always 20, 30 people in those classes every Tuesday and Thursday. Because those are the future administrators or the future leaders of the church, the laborers. And that's what I push her to do. I motivate her. I encourage for her to fast. I encourage her to pray. I encourage her to do it. Motivate her administrators to speak more and bring people and build people up so they can become administrators of the kingdom. See, our goal is to have 100 people at work. 200 people at work in the kingdom. Imagine this. 1,000 people in Paris, Lake Elsinore, Murrieta, speaking of Jesus this way. And they all go with this shirt here. Do you see them with their shirt?
Yeah.
That's what they do. They're walking, and you just say, come here. You just imagine. Okay, I'll tweet this. Imagine 40.
You want to get a picture?
20?
Are people supposed to be covering your camera, maybe?
Oh, yeah, it is. 1, 2, 3, yes, okay.
How come you have all the ladies?
Yeah,
majority of my ladies?
I do have guys, but I didn't want to bring a lot of people. And I didn't bring my director of children, of the children's department.
You
can
bring the whole church.
Yeah, I could have brought them. But just imagine 40 of them plus walking with their shirts like this. And they wear the same color that day. You know, they're going to wear black. You see all of them with their black shirts. It says the church and agape. And if they're going to wear the green one, the blue one, that's what they wear. And they all go together. See, we go together. We start at certain time. Because it's that unity that brings the power. With one mind to serve Jesus. One mind to bring that word to those people. And that's what we do. No one could be late. And I'm on them as a pastor. That's what's my job. My job is to teach you to serve God. You can get mad at me. You can scream at me. You do what you want to do. But you're not the pastor. I am the pastor. No. And if you don't like me, take it to God. What I'm going to do is encourage you to go preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm asking you. I don't go to your house and eat. Because I don't accept people's food. I don't, you know, some pastors do, but I say, thank you, because I don't eat at your house. Because I don't want you to think you could win me by food. None of that. What I'm going to teach you is how to serve God. What I'm going to teach you. I have how old is the oldest person we have to administrate? What's your name, Mom? Yes. How old is she? Okay. I have a very old lady. She went through the whole process. She goes, what day does she go on?
Friday.
Friday morning. What time?
10 a.m. to 12.
10 a.m. to 12. 2 hours. She can't even walk. She'll walk, she'll knock, she'll rest. She'll walk, knock, she'll rest. But she doesn't miss her evangelism. She will, and she has a report to fill. Does she have a house open now?
Yes, she does.
She has a cell house open. With elderly people. And then she preaches the word. What day? You know?
Yes, on Tuesday.
On Tuesday. 7 p.m. On Tuesday. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. she's preaching in that house. Mm-hmm. I don't limit her. See, when it was, you know, those 2 weeks, it was 116 over there. It wouldn't stop. It wouldn't go lower than 116. I told them, who did I told you. Yeah, I told you. Did you ever, I told, you could cancel the evangelism. Mm-hmm. And what did you tell me?
Of course not.
I thought, it's too hot. And she said, no. Mm-hmm. And she said, it comes from them. Because if God uses you that much, and you start seeing God's power in you, you start seeing miracles, you start seeing things, you don't need me to motivate you anymore. It's God who's doing everything. But at the beginning, she has to use a man. And that's what he used me at the beginning with her. With her, her. Mm-hmm. But how do you want?
So, say that you visited one and this person received the Lord. And then she has children. What do you do with the children?
Well, we keep everybody there. Mm-hmm. In the house. Yes, in the cell group. Mm-hmm. We keep them there. We don't bring them child care or anything. Right. Because we try to get them to discipline their kids. Because the problem is, if you notice Jehovah's Witnesses, man, their kids are so sharp. They have a tie. They have their little suitcases. And they're so well behaved. I mean, there the parents talking to you, and the little kids like this, smiling, looking at you. But our kids, the believers, they're the ones jumping here, they're going over there, they're going over there. So why does that work and us? It doesn't work. So we try to teach them that way where they have to discipline. And plus, when they come to the kids' department, see, this is our job. On the kids' department, we only have 12 classes for the whole year. So we do the same classes again. So what we try to do is faith or behavior. Whatever teaching it is, we instill that behavior in them. Mm-hmm. So during the year, we're doing the same class again.
Children's program.
Yes, we did our program, yes. And that's all we do. It's those 12 classes. We repeat them, we repeat them, and repeat them, and repeat them. Our kids now, who works in the kids' department? You do, yes. And you work in the kids' department. Mm-hmm. Do they not pray for the kids right there?
Yes.
See, they start doing things that we want them to do. Mm-hmm. And they fall, they say, can you pour the blood of Jesus? An example, my son. When a kid fell they were playing, my son grabbed the kid, and he's 7 years old, grabbed the kid, took him to the nurse. He prayed for that kid in the nurse office. And then told the kid, you're going to be okay. Jesus is with you. Mm-hmm. We teach that to little kids.
How old is your son?
7. So we teach them that. But how do we do that? We instill the same thing. Because a kid can only grasp so much. So if we're always giving them new classes, how many classes do they really grasp? Mm-hmm. But if we give them 12 classes, this is what I think, we give them 12 classes and then we repeat them. And the kid will say, yeah, yes, I remember that class. Yes, and I did this. How did you use this class? We get them to repeat it. We get them to tell us how they were able to use that teaching. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes part of them. See, because as a little kid, I'm looking up as an administrator. Mm-hmm. I have right now, how many, your sister, how old is she?
She's just her 20.
No, the youngest one, the little one.
Oh, she's 12.
12. Jamie, how old is she?
10.
10. How old is Noemi?
11.
11. Okay. Your daughter.
Yes.
Does she have a house open?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's already preaching in school, everywhere, invite kids, bring your friends, and she's taught. See, we're building them as little kids to get the mentality, I gotta have a house open. I gotta preach to someone. I'm ready to make a miracle because Jesus is gonna use me. Little kid. 10, 11-year-old. Mm-hmm. My little boy, who's 7, he says, Dad, when are you going to let me go sewing? When are you going to let me go back to it? I want to have my house. Because why? They see the other ones. Yeah. And right now I have Jamie, and I have my house. They're becoming administrators. And so they're part of the class now, Tuesday and Thursday. Mm-hmm. So that's because I feel that in the world, we give ourselves to everything. If you see the media in the world, it's beautiful. Advertisement, ads, clips in the movies, right? Everything. They use every resource to give the best thing in the world. But we don't. We try to cut all these corners on things for Jesus. And we can't do that. I always tell them, if we're going to do something, when you give it 100%. And I love the verse she read where it talks about, if you only do what is expected, the Lord says you're worthless. So this is my teaching. Don't do what is expected. Mm-hmm. Because God says you're worthless. Do what is expected and do beyond. Do you think God now calls you worthless? I don't think so. You're doing above and beyond what is expected from you.
Yeah.
So that's right. Let's do more. Let's just not do what is expected. If you could go sewing another day, evangelize. If you could go on Monday and you could go on Tuesday, go. Fight for that blessing. Let God know who you are. And that's what we did at that church. Any other questions? I'm very happy that I could be here with you guys. And it's an honor to be able to share. They're a blessing for me. And mostly girls, ladies that want to serve the most. I do have a few guys. I do have guys. But I don't care. I don't see a gender. I just see a woman that wants to serve God. I just see another woman that wants to serve God. That's all I care. I have my wife. She's the one that ministers them. She prays for them. She motivates them too.
Yeah.
She has meetings with all the ladies on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
So she is my blessing, my wife. And at first it was very difficult because people don't want to go on the streets. Mm-hmm. I have people who said, I'm leaving this church because you can't force me. I said, no, I'm not forcing you. Let me give you a few verses of the Bible. You tell me what the verses say. Because doesn't it look like Jesus is forcing us to do it? Mm-hmm. It's a commandment. You have no way out of it. Mm-hmm. I understand if you want to leave. But I cannot change. I'm called to do this. Mm-hmm. So, Any questions?
How did you ever decide to do it this way? Because this is not what other churches are doing. This is not what we usually see. And so it's an eye-opening, but how did you ever?
I guess maybe my experience in law enforcement and seeing how everything's so structured, seeing how everything they indoctrinated me to become the best police officer in the street, know how to handle things in the street, and how to be faithful to the city. Mm-hmm. That, and then working for Nickelodeon Studio as the administrator, the manager there of the IT department. Those two things, I think, shaped me. And then when I became a believer because of the wife, I just remember going to church, and I remember receiving Jesus, and I went to a retreat. I remember the wife said, go to this retreat. If you go to this retreat, I will never invite you. And maybe Christianity is not for you, she told me. But if it is, God will speak to you. If not, I will never ask you again. So I said, all right. I can just go for a few days and never again she's going to invite me to church. See, can I always stop that Christians were, they should have their imaginary friend. They never let them go. You know, I think whenever something failed, guess what they do? They get under you. If something was going wrong, what do? They talk to their imaginary friend. They never discipline themselves and do things right, so they always have that imaginary friend to talk to. So I always thought believers were that way. But once I went to my retreat, I remember the pastor, that's where I got an idea how to do my retreats. And I amplified it. And I remember him talking the first day, and it meant nothing to me. But I didn't know the seed was being planted. See, this is why I speak so much about seed. Every time they spoke of Jesus and they read a verse and then they prayed on me, I didn't know much of that. I thought, oh, gosh, you make it all big. Can you please stand? After they were done preaching. Can you please stand? We're going to pray for you again. And I was like, oh, God, I guess I'll have two more days to go. And they would come and lay hands on me and they would pray. And I wouldn't feel anything supposedly. There was something spiritual that was breaking. I didn't understand it. Everybody knew Jesus. But now I know it. Now I know that happened. And it works. And I remember on Saturday now, midday Saturday, I was just sitting from nowhere when this man started preaching, this pastor. I started shaking. And I was like, why am I shaking here? The funny thing is, I was a police officer, so I was thinking, check my gun. I'm going to be around drug users in the hallways and y'all be bad people. But that was my mentality, going to the retreat, And I remember him just preaching now, and out of nowhere, after we came back from lunch, and he started preaching, I started shaking. And I was like, why are you shaking? I would talk to him, I said, why are you shaking? And then when I remember the first thing, you know, when he said, Jesus died for you and he loves you. Oh, I started crying. And trust me, I've heard that before. But the breakage, what occurred that the day before, that word and that ministry broke me that time. I was ready to receive those words. And I started crying. And I'm like, dude, don't cry. What are you crying for? I'm going to look at you. And I stopped crying. And I just couldn't stop crying. I couldn't stop shaking. I'm like, why am I shaking? Why am I feeling this way? And I remember he asked me, he goes, okay, we're going to pray for you guys. Can you please stand? And I remember, and I'm not someone that talks this way or says things like this. You know, I'm not emotional this way. But I remember him just laying hands on me. All I remember is just waking up on the floor. And I remember when I woke up on the floor and I opened my eyes, I said, why are you on the floor? This is embarrassing. I was speaking to him. Get up now. No, they didn't see me. Get up. And I got up. And they were preaching at that time still. The new preaching. And I would continue crying again. So all Saturday and all Sunday, here's what I did. I cried and I touched the floor. I cried and I would always end up on the floor. I cried and I remember on Sunday I said, I'm not fighting anymore. And I remember when they came and picked me up, the wife came and picked me up. I remember this. I ran towards her. And I apologized to her. You know, it kind of makes me cry a little right now. But I remember I said, I'm sorry for being who I was to you. You meant well to me. And I just couldn't receive Jesus in my life. And right now, I promise to serve God. And I will serve Him and I will serve Him. And since that day, I changed. And I went to this, and I was in this church. This church was very disorganized. They didn't have anything. It didn't have, you know, I remember going to the pastor and saying, Pastor, I'm a new believer. That should be me. How are you going to help me call? How are you going to teach me? And he goes, well, you come every Sunday and Tuesday and Friday, and you know, the Spirit will guide you, and you read that word, and you'll be okay. I didn't feel that was okay. See, I felt that I needed to be, you know, I needed to be guided. I needed to be guided. And I remember the pastor, I told him, Pastor, if you will allow me, I don't know much about this. Can I come up with something? Because my experience as a police officer, my experience, in, you know, can I do something? And you approve everything if you think it's okay, if you think, or the others, they think it's okay, you know. You could do it. I really don't want to help you in front of people, I told him. All I care is just to help you behind that wall, but no one knows I'm doing it. Because this is not for me, I told him. And I feel like I'm going to be the best. And that's where it started. And thank you very much.
So you don't actually preach. You just knock on the door.